Just Measures Radio is on the air.
All systems go.
Has led you to the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. Take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be. I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Good evening, all my friends. Hello, hello. Well, tonight is, let's see, what is it? It's 29th of March already of 2014. The year is spinning its way along. You know, you stop and think about it, we're a quarter of the way through the year and we just seem to just barely gotten it started. So, let me do this. Welcome to everyone who obviously is in the chat room right now and everyone who listens to this in the podcasts and in the archives in the future. And tonight, well, I'm going to do what I'd promised. So I'm going to do this. This will give you a little bit more of a memory jogger for what we're going to cover. We're going to be talking about making sausage tonight. So I had to do that. And being such that we're going to be doing a Ukrainian sausage, I'm also going to be probably featuring Ukrainian folk music tonight, other musics that they play. So I guess first thing we should probably do is I should probably get everybody out to our webpage. And where we need to go to is out at Arlen, A-R-L-I-N-N, dash, Tower, TOWER.com/ with a capital T, Tinkers_shop. And let me do this. I'll go ahead and drop this in the chat room as well as soon as I find my way back there. There we go. Yeah, sometimes it's kind of fun with this stuff here when I have multiple windows out here on the computers. So, and as always, what'll happen is it'll bring us to our starting point, homepage. And if we scroll, as always, all the way down to the bottom, you'll see a link here that says Sausage 101. And kind of goes along with what Mother Earth was saying here a little bit earlier. You know, with sausages and meats, you got to control what goes in it. You know, what can you say? You can't just say, oh, well, yeah, I'll go down to the store here and, you know, buy myself, you know, X number of pounds of this and X number of pounds of that and go ahead and slap it together. So, well, give everybody a chance here, and I'll give you all a few seconds more here to get out to the webpage. And actually, by the way, once we get further along tonight, you'll actually get a chance to see what my ugly mug looks like. So, okay, so let's get started on this. Okay, like I've mentioned in the past, many of the old-time skills, I guess, you know, they're not rocket science, and they're not brain surgery either. And they're just basically or simply a standard process for getting a task done, you know, in the most efficient way possible. And sausage making is no different. It's like any other project that you want to do. First, you decide what you want to do. Second, you gather your materials. And last, but not least, just go ahead and do it. You know, that's the same thing with a lot of other things. You know, if you want to learn how to do something, read up on it, learn about it, and, you know, gather your materials, and then go ahead and do it. Probably 90% of the time, at least, if you take your time and do it, you can get it done. It doesn't take a specialist. Of course, things like surgery or whatever, filling a tooth, yeah. Then you need somebody who knows what they're doing. But, like I said, you know, with tinkering, and it goes along with sausage making, beer making, just do it. Give it a try. Okay, so let's get back here to the sausage making, though. In our case here, what we need to do is, or you need to know what kind of sausage you want to make. There are dry sausages, ones that literally, you know, it'll be, look similar to a summer sausage, or like a pepperoni, some of these other ones. They're made, they use usually a cure number 2 in it, which generates its own, well, nitrates and nitrites that help keep any bacterial spoilage from happening while you actually let them air dry. Okay, and then you also have summer sausage, which is, again, another one that uses a cure number 2, and that is also another type of sausage. You use a larger casing on it and usually grind it a little bit more coarsely, but, you know, again, it's, you know, quite similar to the dry sausages. Patties, you know, there's a lot of things that people eat. You know, obviously, you know, you can either have, like, for breakfast sausage, you can either have patties or links. Generally speaking, probably 99% of the time, it's the same darn thing. It's just that someone has gone through the work of squirting the sausage into a casing that you cook up. Patties, you know, obviously there's not a whole lot that you have to do with it. Just make the patties and freeze them up if you're going to keep them for an extended period of time. Otherwise, you cook them fresh. Okay, and then the last general category here would be rings, you know, of sausage. That could be like a metwurst, ring bologna. Let's see. We've got an outfit here in Wisconsin called Hillshire Farms. I believe they're national. And they'll have kind of a semi-ring sausage. So, and let's see here. Let's continue on here. So once you decide on your, you know, whether it's a stick, you know, a dry stick or a wet stick, or whether it's a ring, you know, once you've decided on your form for it, the type of sausage that you're going to make, then you'll have to decide what its flavor is going to be. And, well, let's see, I suppose at this point I should probably say, you know, like I have here, you know, you got to remember rule number 1 when it comes to cooking, brewing, sausage making. Cleanliness. You know, cleanliness is next to godliness. And so, okay, so, oh, I just thought of something here. I should probably take a peek back here in the chat room. Okay, I assume since everybody is active here and I don't see any notes saying that you can't hear me, so I guess I'll go ahead and continue on. My one big fear, you know, that I'm not going to be going out online when I think I am. Okay, so next step, you know, after, you know, you make sure everything's clean, your next step to do would be to prepare your meat, your various meats that you're going to use, you know, for stuffing for the sausage. And just about any kind of protein can go in. Pork, you can have beef, you can have venison, you can have chicken, ducks, any kind of wild game, really. And how finely you grind the meats up is up to you. Because some people, you know, they like a fine grind. And like I have here, you know, you grind it, if you grind it fine enough, and you can make something that resembles an Oscar Mayer hot dog, which is just basically, you know, pink paste. Or you can coarsely grind the meats and make something similar to an old-style country sausage. You know, I have to admit, that's more towards my liking. And let's see here. Also, for most kinds of sausage, you'll need to add some fats to it, because most meats, well, actually, I was going to say most meats these days don't have a lot of fat on them, but unfortunately, a lot of the cuts we're seeing now, yeah, they got a lot of fat. The thing is, fats in the meat help both the flavor and the end result texture. If you don't have enough fats in your mix for making your sausage, what you'll end up with is a really dry sausage link. And if they're too dry, they have a tendency of either wanting to fall apart or crumble, because the fats that one puts in actually helps act as a binder. Of course, though, if you have too much fat in a sausage of any sort, yeah, once you're trying to, you know, smoke it or cook it, because, yeah, there's sausages out there that you don't smoke, that you just basically pan fry or boil. And the thing is, if you have too much fat, you can actually burst your link. And again, that's not a good thing, because I think all of us probably have one time or another, if we start pan frying up some bratwurst, you know, it's like, oh, they're getting a little bit bulging there, and you hit it with a fork and you end up with the spray coming off of, you know, juices. Well, it's juices and it's fat, so that's why you don't want to have too much fat. Oh, yes, rule of thumb that I included here on the page. Good rule of thumb is to keep the fat in your sausages between 20 and 30% fat by weight. You know, obviously, fat is, if you pick up a chunk of back fat as opposed to fat back. But if you pick up a piece of that and you pick up the equivalent size chunk of, say, beef, you're going to find that the fat is lighter in weight. So, like I said, you want to do it, keep it between 20 and 30% fats. Obviously, if you're mixing meats, you'll have to kind of, you know, judge it by eye, because some beef is a little bit fattier than others. A lot of pork, you got some pretty good fat on some of that as well. So, okay. I think I should have specified here about the back fat. That's referring to the fat that's on back or the upper half of a pig under the skin. It has a tendency of being a little bit harder than the belly fat, and also it comes in basically slabs. It's the same thing that's used to many times to render down for lard. So that's what you want to use. You don't want to use beef fat, because another term to describe beef fat is tallow. And as we all know, they used to make candles out of that. So that's, it's not as easily digestible as pork fat is, and plus the pork fat has a better taste. Now, once all your meats are ground, not the fat yet, but just the meats, once you have them all ground to your liking, then at that point you'll want to mix your spices or your flavorings and a small amount of water in with them. And what you're going to need to do is, for most home sausage making, you're not going to have a meat mixer. So best bet is either, you know, just really clean your hands really good and get them in there and just kind of squish it all around, mix the spices and the flavorings and a little bit of water in there, and just work it through. Might take 5 minutes, but it's well worth it. Of course, though, if you have skin problems or might be allergic to some of the spices, nitrile gloves, they work quite well. So that's an option. Okay, so once you have your sausage filling mixed up, what you'll want to do is you'll have to let that set for about 24 hours for the spices and the flavors to meld in there. For example, say you use fresh garlic. You know, obviously when you chop that up real fine and whatnot, yes, there's going to be a lot of the oils that come out. But still, when you mix that with your meats, it'll give it a little bit more time for a little bit more of that garlic flavor to get out and spread through your sausage. And then, you know, like I said, you want to leave that set for about 24 hours. The next day when you come back, what you can do then is, actually, before you stuff it or anything, go ahead and get, you know, some of the back fat, and actually you can use things like hog jowls and or bacon, which will, these days, bacon's mostly fat, and it's also pretty expensive, but it's a viable substitute. But what you want to do with that is run it through your grinder, whether you have a hand grinder or an electric one. You know, run it through there on medium to coarse size holes. And you want to run it through there when it's still pretty well frozen, because you want it to stay fairly hard, and you also want it to be stiff enough to where you can mix it in. Because once you've got that done, that's the time when you take your meat out from wherever you've been keeping it, whether it be a cooler, out on an enclosed porch in the wintertime, or the refrigerator. You mix your fat in with the meat, and you're almost to the point where you can go ahead and stuff your sausages. So now, what you need to do is, like I said before, you have to decide what kind of sausage you're going to be making. I just have a little table in here. Most of the casings for sausage, you know, they're prepackaged these days. You can get them, or you can actually buy them at a butcher shop. And they're rated in size in millimeters. You have like a 19 to 21 millimeters. Well, being such, there's 25.4 millimeters to an inch. That means you're talking, 5/8 of an inch to a little over 3/4 for the smallest one. And next size up is like 32 to 35. That's 1¼ to 1⅜, which is generally used for bratwurst or a ring sausage. The first one, by the way, the 19 to 21, that's about, say, hot dog size or snack stick size. And then the largest one I've got on this list here is 40 to 42 millimeters. That's like 1½ to, call it inch and three quarters size, you know, which would be like when you'd make your own summer sausage. Okay, so once you have your casings, and I'll get into how all that later, but when you have your casings, you fill your casings with your sausage mix. After that's done, you end up having to let them air dry a little bit. Then you can smoke and you can chill your sausages. At that point, you can either eat it fresh, you know, cook it, you know, boil it, fry it, however, or you can refrigerate it, or you can freeze for storage if you've made enough ahead. And then down here at the bottom of this section, you actually have three links, or four links actually. A couple different links to suppliers for whether it be casings for, you know, doing sausage, or say the spices or any of the extra additives. One is Lem products. The other is the sausage makers. Both are pretty good. I've actually ordered stuff from both of them, and you know, they have a pretty decent turnaround time. Next one here, I've got a YouTube video. It's about making sausage, and that's actually produced by the gentleman who owns Lem. So it's pretty much an ad for him in a way, but he also goes through it. It's kind of a fun tutorial to watch. And then the last thing on these, there's a photo tutorial from a web page called Sausage Mania. And again, these people from Sausage Mania, they're from up in Alaska. But so they have some, how'd you call it? They definitely have a need for taking care of that stuff. So let's see here. It looks like it's about 25 past the hour here, so I probably should go ahead and at least put one or two pieces. Well, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a piece of music in here, and then we'll have a station break commercial, and then we'll be back. So enjoy the music.
earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Wall Street closes? Whom do you turn to? You turn to Cat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the MediChat, and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. MediChat, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Okay, yes, here we are, bottom of the hour already. Yep, 9:30 in the evening here on this Saturday night here on Just Measures Radio. So, I think perhaps I'm going to do one more short song here. It's less than 3 minutes long. It's another Ukrainian one. And then at that point, we'll move ahead.
Там шли, шли два брата з турецького промета, з турецького промета домой. І лиш тільки приступили ми польською границю, ударили поля три рази. Сестрица родная, дай чистой мне бумаги, родным я письмо напишу.
See, it's my old country music, but for a lot of us, I imagine there's some of us who have a little bit of the old world family histories. I'll put it that way. Okay, so I suppose I should probably, you know, trot on along here because, you know, who knows? You know, we'll end up here close to the end of the hour, and I might not have everything covered. So, okay. I'll hop back over here to our webpage, and the next section on here I'll probably just kind of go through here kind of quick, but kind of as an overview on grinders and sausage stuffer types. Okay, like this first one here that you can see, it's labeled an old style electric, and that's actually produced by a company called Dormeyer, and these were quite popular back in the, 1940s, 1950s, and probably up into the 1960s. And this is actually one that, I've got one just like it. It was my grandmother's. And I remember helping do an awful lot of sausages with that thing when I was probably 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. About the same age as Nugget is. And the next photo down here is basically the works that for the grinder and stuffer attachment. And, you know, it's obviously it's not real large, but it's basically five pieces. You know, you got the body of it and the ring that holds the auger, the knife, and then your grinding plates in there. You know, it's not real complicated. So if we go down just a little bit further, this is a new style electric one. And again, this is a photo from the website where for the company where I bought it. Well, actually, I'll just admit it outright. Bought it at Harbor Freight, and basically mine looks just like that one. It's new electric type. Have to admit, I usually use that for when I start getting stubborn and decide I'm going to make sausages by myself. Because it's got an on-off switch on there. I still have to build myself a foot switch so I can just, step on it and run the motor and, take my foot off and whatnot. But they're quite efficient. And it actually comes with, three stuffing tubes and, the adapter for it, the whole bit. It's kind of nice. Okay, and now just down here a little bit more. Next one here I have is for stuffing tubes. Okay. Stuffing tube will fit into a grinder and make it do double duty as a sausage stuffer. This picture here, the two tubes on the lower right, those are produced by KitchenAid. And they'll fit on my new electric grinder. They'll also fit on the old style, the Dormeyer. So they, these will mix and match. Obviously, if you have an unusual grinder, either electric or a hand grinder, it's possible to contact both LEM and the sausage makers, and if you get them on the phone, they'll walk you through finding the right ones. It's basically a matter of diameter for the flat plate on it. The ones on the lower left side, those are actually the pieces that came with my electric grinder. Like I said, it fits on the other Dormeyer. Up at the top, those are some stainless steel ones. And I picked those up for my Alexander work. And that's the next photo down in the series. This is a Alexander work number 8. It's part of my collection. I've got, probably about 8 or 9 grinders plus extra parts that I've picked up along the way and salvaged out. And well, you can see roughly the sizes on these. These tubes, the stainless steel tubes, the largest one is probably about 7.5 inches long. So that'll give you an idea of the size. Next one down, I had noticed in the chat room someone had mentioned that a relative of theirs had a Best Made. And again, this is a picture of a Best Made number 2, which again, I have. And by the way, each one of my grinders is slightly different and it can be used for different things. So it's each one has its strong points. The Alexander work, that's got a good aggressive auger in it. And so you can, you know, move a sausage mix through that and through the sausage stuffer portion, you know, at a pretty good clip. The best made one, that, like I said, can also be used. It doesn't have quite as aggressive taper to it, but it's just about as good. It actually would work extremely well for things like, oh, say, hot dogs or snack sticks and this sort of thing. And if we go down to the next picture, I apologize for the quality of the picture. I didn't have real good light, so I had to kind of play with it and, you know, put two different halves together. But this is these are the knife and three different cutting plates that are, you know, with the best made. And how to best put it here. You're going to find that the knives and the plates aren't necessarily going to be able to be cross-matched between different grinders. But there are cases in which it does as well. But like I said, this is, you know, the three plates I have and the knife. The knife is the cross-shaped thing. And the one directly below the knife is what's referred to as a bean plate. It's not because it's meant for grinding beans. It's just that it's, you know, shaped, the holes are shaped like a kidney bean. And that's what you use for stuffing sausages. Yeah, well, you don't, basically, it holds the auger in place so it doesn't wobble around, and it has a large enough holes that your filling can come through easily. On the right-hand side, you've got a couple different plates. One's a pretty darn fine one, which, again, you're going to be grinding stuff really basically to mush if you use that one. The next one down is about a medium size hole. Those are probably about a 5/16 hole. And, again, you know, it's depends on how you want to grind stuff, you know, how you stack them up and put them on the auger. Okay, next one down. This is a Maid of Honor grinder. And unfortunately, this particular kind it won't accept any stuffing tubes. This is actually, it's got a couple little, what would you call them, lugs or ears on it. Can't really see them too well, but you can see one, you know, kind of in the lower portion of the business end there, by where the nut is at. And I think they had originally a sausage tube that would fit over the top and latch on. I'm not sure. Okay, and so if we go down on this one, you'll see that these are somewhat different than the plates for the best made. Again, in the upper left, this is your knife in this case. And the way that sits is that actually sits down and latches in. And then your cutting plates, these other three, go over the top of that on the square end of the shaft. I use this one here for grinding the hard fat to put into sausages. It's just basically the one that looks like a bean plate and the knife. I get a good coarse grind on that. And again, on the right-hand side, there's, you know, a fine plate at the bottom. The one at the top is a little bit larger. These holes in this one are probably about 3/8 of an inch. So again, you have kind of a choice in there of how coarse I can grind things. Okay, now, well, got just a couple more sections or a couple more shots in this part. And after I go through these, then I'll go ahead and put another, I'll put another piece or two of the Ukrainian music in. So this first one here looks like an elbow. It's a 5-pound manual stuffer. That comes from Lem Company. And the way that works is basically, well, the sausage stuffer tube goes on the front the same way as it would on to a grinder, or hand grinder or electric. And it's got a long arm there. Basically, you pick the arm up, you pack your stuffing into this J shape, and then you just can bring the arm down. It's got like a little disc on a swivel. It's the best way of putting it. That you just get it on there, and you literally just press it through. You have a lot more control with it, and you don't have an auger in there which can grind your meat more, and you don't have a knife at the end of the auger, you know, which can possibly cut it up some more. This way, what you have when you put it into the stuffer, that's what you're going to have inside your casing. You know, pretty much straightforward. And then the last one on here is, you know, a 10-pound stuffer. This is one where it works the same way as the 5-pounder, except the cylinder that's in the middle, you can actually take and rotate that out. You stuff it full of the meat. You put it back in, and down at the bottom, you obviously you're going to have your casings strung onto your stuffer or the funnel, whichever way you want to call it. And it's, again, pretty much straightforward, except instead of using a lever, this one has a crank. So it's like an old-style crank-up jack working in reverse. Okay, so let's do this. I'll go ahead and put a little bit of a Cossack folk song in here. So, back in just a couple minutes, or actually back in about 4 minutes and 4 seconds. So, gotta wet my whistle.
Вкус клоны.
Thinking was a different one. My apologies. I cannot read Ukrainian very well. So, you know, the notes I have on these, it's all in Ukrainian. So, okay. Well, I suppose I should probably get rolling here because two more big sections to go and we only got 10 minutes left. So, who knows? Like I said, I'll just go ahead and kind of fly through this and then perhaps next week we can go through and I can explain stuff a little bit more in detail. So, at this point here, we should have a section here labeled supplies. And this is actually, you know, basically how you'd work it. I'd actually made up a batch of Ukrainian sausage this last weekend. And actually, I enjoyed some tonight. And, If Nugget's still in the chat room, he can probably attest to that it tastes pretty good, because I think he might have had some of it tonight, too. I dug out a package of it, and that's what I had for supper. Yum, yum, yum. Good stuff. So, you know, like I said, you'll have your ground meats together. This picture, actually, it's the ground meats and the fat that I had put in. Again, spices or your flavoring agents. This is actually a picture from, this is from Sausage Maker, this shot. But this is an example of one of their kits. And both Sausage Maker and Lem, I've got links for both companies here. They do offer, you know, pre-mixed spice packages for, you know, producing your own sausage. It's a little bit easier sometimes to go from a mix when you are starting out. I myself, I've done this off and on for the last 50 years. So, you know, I'm not too much on kits unless I'm in a big hurry. Plus, I like to experiment a little. Okay, next thing down here. The kits usually do not include a cure packet. You have to get that separately. And, like, for example, this particular package, I think, is a 4-ounce package, and that's probably enough for about 25 or 30 pounds of sausage. Of course, it depends on the recipe. You know, they'll specify how much cure you need to put in. Cure number one, that's one for sausages in things like bratwurst, ring bologna, even metwurst. It helps preserve them somewhat, keeps the color a little bit brighter to the meats. And, it works with the salt that's in your cure to, you know, help preserve the meats. And I also have a link in there to, it's a rich text file that people can actually download that actually talks about how to make your own curing mixes. And that's for things, well, cure number one, cure number two, a bacon and ham cure, and there's another one or two in there too, I believe. Okay, next thing down. You got to have something to put your sausages, or to make your sausages out of when you got your mix. And out of mercy for IC and a couple of the other ladies here, I figured I would not put any pictures in of natural casings, you know, what they look like. Basically, they're the innards, you know, the small intestine that's been cleaned out and scrubbed out. it's preserved in salt. So, what can you say? Again, there's links there to the varying sizes. Next one down is collagen casings. These are man-made ones, and it's, well, it's made from collagen, you know, the connective tissues and whatnot that are in cattle. These are an edible casing, and so, you know, what can you say? It's performs the same function as a natural casing. Biggest difference between using a collagen casing and a natural casing is the natural casing needs to be soaked in water and rinsed really good to get the salt off of it and out of it before you use them. You have to soak them for about an hour in warm water, and you change the water a couple times. Whereas with the collagen casings, you use them dry. You don't get them wet, because if you get them wet, they'll start dissolving. So, but they both basically strip onto your sausage stuffer or the funnel for it the same way. You just get them started and you work them on. And, you know, if you have, say, 4 inches of either one, you know, where you pack it onto the funnel, you can probably do anywhere from 5 to 10 pounds. Which is a lot of sausage. So, and last but not least in this section, these are fibrous casings. And these are mostly used for like summer sausage or like big bologna, you know, things of that sort, you know, lunch meats types of things. And these are not edible. You know, there's some types of them that you can smoke them. And the smoke will go through, it's permeable, but they're not an edible casing. So, you can feed the casings to the critters, I suppose, in small slices. If you got summer sausage and you peel the skin off, you know, it's kind of a treat for them. So, okay, so I imagine probably next week we can go through to a little bit more detail on this, but I should zip along, because we're just about out of time here, and I probably will have to go ahead and, just save this whole next section for next week, but we'll just kind of skim through here real quick, and, you know, like I said, real quick here. First shot here under the process is where you soak the casings. These are actually a two-piece casing where you can actually get it started onto the funnel or the stuffer. And again, next picture down is showing where they're actually taking some of the natural casings and sliding them onto the stuffing tube. And you probably see how it's kind of packing up on there. That's how that works. Okay, now we're getting into some of the shots when I actually made sausage here. This is where I was packing my stuffer with the sausage. You just basically have to kind of push it down there and get it started, you know, pack it in so you don't have any air pockets. You don't want to have air pockets. They again can blow up your sausages. Next shot, this is where I was going through. Had started it and was running it, working the sausage stuffing in through the grinder. And remember, don't stick your fingers down inside of these things while they're working, whether it be a mechanical one or electrical one, because, like I say here, that auger does not know the difference between your fingers and the ground meat that's there. And you don't want to add a little bit of yourself to your sausage. It just doesn't work right. Okay, and again, like I went on to say, this is me going ahead and getting it going, continuing. Next one here, down, it's getting good length on it, and if we go a little bit further, this is where I was actually going a little bit longer than I should have. Generally speaking, you want to go just to about a 12-inch length, and again, like I said, next week I can get a little more detail on this, and by the way, that's my ugly mug, so... And so we'll get down here. Just next one. This is where I'm twisting them off. I've got a couple of them made there already. The way you do that is you pull off a little bit more of the sausage skin there. You roll the sausage a couple times to twist it. You knot it off with some cordage, you know, a couple knots. Pull out a little bit more. I usually use between 1 and 2 inches. Tie another knot. At that point, I snip the umbilical cord there with a scissors and can set them down just like I have them there on the table. And then proceed on to do the next one. And the next shot is me holding one up so you can kind of see what the length is and how they look. These were collagen casings I was using because I just knew we were going to be taking pictures and I wanted stuff to be straight and be able to show you how the stuff looks. So that one there is, or those, that's ready for smoking. Now, and that, like I said, if you got them, once you get all done with that, then you go ahead and steal an army phrase, smoke them if you got them. So, again, this is smoker that I use, that it's one that I built. And again, that one I'll probably do a whole show on how to build a smoker. Next thing is your temperature gauge. A lot of the smokers that exist, they'll have a gauge that looks like this. Generally, what you want to do is only have it about halfway at the most. If it stays down in the warm section, you can smoke something a lot longer, but you're not going to heat the meat up thoroughly. So if you keep it up in about the mid-range, that's a good place. It'll give you roughly, give you your 160 degrees that you want to get when you finish up. And the last picture here, that was what I had for supper. I had some of those. That's some of the Ukrainian sausages that you saw the pictures of earlier. We're further up on the page. Okay, so, looks like we're past 10 o'clock here already. So I think what I should probably do is I'll go ahead and just say quickly here, got the recipe here, and we'll go through that next week as well. And I actually have down at the bottom downloadable copies of 3 different sausage recipes. So, with that said, I should probably thank you all for coming tonight and joining here in the Tinker Shop for the 29th of March of 2014. Have a very good week. Take care, and God bless, and I guess we'll be out of here.
Я ж нікого не любила. Відшукай мене по слідах коня.